Good morning. I'm Julie Small. This is the California Report. San Diego has adopted mandatory water restrictions. The city council unanimously approved the move on Monday, converting what had been voluntary measures into legal requirements. San Diegans can only water their yards 3 times a week for 10 minutes, and they have to shut off all ornamental fountains. People who violate the new rules face fines starting at $100. But city officials say they're not interested in mounting a massive regulatory effort. They just want to encourage people to get with the program. San Diego's already cut its water use, but is nowhere near the 20% reduction Governor Jerry Brown called for this year. San Diego's the second largest city in the state after Los Angeles to move to mandatory water restrictions. If you're not registered to vote now, you won't be able to vote in the November 4th election. The deadline to sign up was yesterday. A nonpartisan group called Voto Latino might be able to claim credit for a few last-minute filers. But the Latino vote is still the sleeping giant of California politics, as Rachel Myra reports from KQED's Silicon Valley desk.
Voto Latino held a power summit over the weekend at San Jose State, aimed at tech-savvy 18 to 35-year-olds. The group faces an uphill fight. In 2012, Latino registration rates lagged the statewide average by nearly 10%, and the numbers are worse when you're talking about a midterm election when the White House is not in play. So says Karthik Ramakrishnan, professor of political science at UC Riverside.
It's difficult for nonpartisan groups to get people excited if the political parties and candidates are not fundamentally addressing the issues that voters care about.
He says many Latinos feel deflated by the failure of immigration reform in Washington, D.C. Some pundits suggest the most obvious way to reignite the Latino vote would be to run a Latino candidate for president in 2016. For the California Report, I'm Rachel Myro in San Jose.
There's no question about what the top line is on Republican gubernatorial candidate Neel Kashkari's resume. Kashkari led the federal government's high-profile response to the 2008 economic meltdown. But on the campaign trail, Kashkari doesn't spend too much time talking about the Troubled Asset Relief Program, or TARP. And there's a reason, explains Sacramento Bureau Chief Scott Detrow as part of our California Election Watch 2014. Even though the bailout plan worked, it was pretty messy and complicated.
When Neel Kashkari is asked about the $450 billion bailout he ran, he paints it as a bipartisan success.
And everyone told us, Washington, D.C. is so complicated. You can't get Republicans and Democrats to work together. You can't navigate the House and the Senate. We figured it out.
That's not the way he characterized it 6 years ago.
Hard choices are easy to make when you really don't have a choice. You know, when the consequences of inaction are so grave, we have to step in.
Let's back up a bit. The economy imploded in 2008 for a long list of complicated reasons. The short summary is that too many banks bought up too many bad mortgages, and the global credit market basically dried up. Kashkari was just one staffer in the U.S. Treasury Department, of course, but he actually wrote the plan that became the federal government's main response to the crisis. He had a big enough role that he was portrayed in the HBO movie Too Big to Fail.
Neel's team is working on some kind of a disaster scenario.
We're calling it the Break the Glass Plan. What to ask Congress for if your back's against the wall?
Money.
Treasury would buy up these so-called toxic assets of subprime mortgages that had paralyzed all the banks. Kashkari even came up with the program's $700 billion price tag, which came more from political realities than economic needs. But for whatever reason, Treasury shifted gears after Congress approved the plan. Instead of buying up toxic assets, the government would now basically give the money to the nation's largest banks. Congress, to put it mildly, freaked out. San Diego Republican Daryl Issa may be endorsing Kashkari this year, but at the time, he ripped into Kashkari.
All the details, both mortgage-backed securities.
Now, that wasn't the question.
No, I'm please
yeah, but, no, I want to know the time and date because I want to know whether Congress was lied to.
Kashkari and the rest of Treasury argued that the direct stock purchases were the better way to unfreeze the markets quickly. TARP eventually doled out about $450 billion. That included more than $60 billion for insurance giant AIG, a bailout Kashkari defended in a 2008 speech.
This action was necessary to maintain the stability of our financial system. In return, AIG must comply with stringent limitations on executive compensation for its top executives.
What Treasury didn't realize was that it wasn't just executives. AIG had a massive company-wide bonus program in place. In March 2009, it handed out more than $1.7 billion in bonuses and other payments. But the Special Inspector General overseeing TARP, Neil Barofsky, told Congress Kashkari's team dropped the ball.
Treasury didn't know about them until 2 weeks beforehand. And they didn't know the scope of those payments, that they were going to apply not just to essential personnel, but also to non-essential, people who worked in the mailroom, in the kitchen, in the file room. Our audit concludes that this was a failure.
I love the luxury of 2020 hindsight. You know, we were trying to prevent the American and the global economy from collapsing.
That was Kashkari last week on KQED's forum.
With all the luxury of 6 years to contemplate this, sure, we do lots of little things differently.
On the campaign trail, Kashkari says TARP got every dollar back and turned billions in profit. That's actually a contested point. While repayments, interest, and dividends have generated billions more in revenue than what the government paid out, TARP's Special Inspector General argues the government is still owed about $40 billion in principal. Kashkari disputes that figure. But to the larger point, UC Berkeley law professor Stephen Davidoff Solomon says the answer is pretty clear.
TARP was undoubtedly a success. The fact that we're standing here and the banks are up and the economy is growing, maybe not as fast as we want to, is clearly shows that TARP was a success. It stopped the financial crisis.
But it was seen as rewarding the banks that helped create the crisis to begin with. That doesn't play well in politics. Which may explain why candidate Kashkari doesn't talk about TARP a lot. Yes, it may have kept the country out of a depression, but elections aren't won based on things that never happened. For the California Report, I'm Scott Detrow in Sacramento.
Want to learn more about all the statewide races on the November ballot? Check out our election guide at californiareport.org/election guide. And that's the California Report for Tuesday, October 21st, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Julie Small. This is the California Report.
Support for the California Report comes from URS, a global engineering and construction firm providing engineering, construction, and technical support to public agencies and private companies. URS.com. Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose family foundation advances the wiser use of energy and natural resources on a planet where everything is connected. On the web at theschmidt.org. And the California Endowment, working to achieve health and justice for all. Learn more at calendow.org.